Amen. Thank you, brother. Happy Thanksgiving. It's in you. I know. Come on. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
All right. Hey, I am thankful. I'm thankful for you being here. I'm thankful that I am here. God is good. God is good. He's going to move today. You can hear it already in the sound. You can hear it. I want to draw your attention up here for 1 second. Crossroads Community Church website. The new website is up and running. Up and running. Exciting, right? Exciting. Now, what you're going to do is when you get home, you're going to go to www.crossroadsseashells.com. Crossroadsseashells.com, and that's going to give you all the details you need there. I'm going to give you just a quick tutorial here. I want you to jump over to About. Click in About. If I was from Newfoundland, I would say
About.
There we go. On our About page, you're going to find a lot of details. You're going to find the vision, mission, values. We've been talking about slowly working through this, slowly processing. We're close to that final draft of clarity. And so what you've got there is a bit of the vision, mission, values. Hop over to the next one to our team. Here we go. No, just down on the About border, beside vision, mission, values, our team. Down, over. There it is.
I need glasses. There it is.
There's our team. You've got a Joel, you've got a Carol, you've got a Julie and RJ, a Downs is down below. Exciting, there's a crocodile inside RJ there. You got some bios in there, some details about people. Let's go one more over. You got a picture there with some elders on it you're going to see here. Oh, now you got to log in. Okay, now pause. You want to be part of the directory, you want to sign up, go to the website. Carol, where do we go to sign into the directory on the website?
Join.
We want you to join, okay? So there's it. That's all I'm going to say about the website. Go check it out. Get involved. That's it. There's the plug. It's a technological World Wide Web day so far. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. We are jumping out of 1 Corinthians and we are doing just a drop into Thessalonians. Why? Because Thessalonians is permeated with being thankful. I'm going to read the section that we're going to be in and then we're going to move through the whole book. Be ready. Starting in chapter 5, verse 12, this first part isn't going to be up on the screen. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you when the Lord is to admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. On January 31st, 1957, a proclamation was issued. And this proclamation came from the government and said this: Thanksgiving was to be a day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest with which Canada has been blessed. Did you know that?
Yes. Amen.
You knew it.
I did.
Jane knew it. Okay, Jane.
No,
here's the next one. Now some of this was a little, we are so permeated, second time I'm using that today, with American culture, we sometimes forget what our Canadian culture, our Canadian Thanksgiving is. Canadian Thanksgiving started with, anybody know the guy who it started with? Anybody got a year? First name is Martin. Nope. Last name starts with an F. Frobisher. Martin Frobisher. Have you heard that name before? Martin Frobisher. Okay. In 1578, there was this voyage of Martin Frobisher from England in search of the Northwest Passage. That was his third voyage on the way here, and he was in the Canadian territory of Nunavut. He set out with the intention of starting a small settlement there. Now, his fleet of 15 ships was outfitted with men, materials, and provisions. However, the loss of one of the ships through contact with ice, along with much of the building material, would prevent him from actually being able to create that settlement. That expedition was plagued by ice storms, by all of these tragedies. That crew, that whole fleet was in a sense taken apart, challenged deeply. Now, Maester Wolfald, who is this learned man appointed by Her Majesty's Council to be the minister and preacher, made for them this sermon. He made for them this sermon in light of everything that had happened, all of the loss, this failed venture that they were on. And he said this. After they celebrated communion, he said this. The celebration of divine mystery was the first sign, scale, and confirmation of Christ's name, death, and passion ever known in all these quarters. They paused in the midst. They gave thanks over Christ's body, which is broken, over his blood that was shed. And that was the first time in that sense that that happened in Canada. That was the start of Thanksgiving. What was his name? Nicely done, Martin Frobisher. Years later, French settlers, along with Samuel de Champlain, we recognize that, would come and they would engage with their First Nations, their neighbors. And that's similar to the way that the American celebrate. Now, after the American Revolution, there were some even refugees that made their way up and across the border and brought some of that cultural celebration into us. But it's interesting to note, I want to draw your attention back to that proclamation that was issued, a day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest with which Canada has been blessed. That's still true. We are still blessed. And whether some acknowledge it or not, we're still blessed by what God has given us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And I want you to take home today Martin Frobisher. His journey, where they fell apart and they stopped, and in the midst of that, they had communion. That was at the start of our country. Amazing, right? Amazing. Now, thankfulness in 1 Thessalonians. You will recognize that the book of Thessalonians starts with being thankful and it ends with being thankful. In 1 verse 2, Paul says this, "We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers." This shows Paul's devotion to the people that he discipled, to the people that he loved. He always was giving thanks for them. He was always praying for them. Down to verse 6. "You became the imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." And we talk about being thankful. It is easy to be thankful when you are given a great and a beautiful gift. Right? It is so easy to be thankful when you have a beautiful baby boy, baby girl. Sometimes it's harder when you face those difficult spaces in life. And so if you're here and you're in the midst of a difficult space in life, I don't want you to turn off because we're talking about being thankful and you don't feel like your life circumstances indicate you should not be thankful. I want you to hold. Okay? Because this church, in the midst of severe suffering, received joy Now, was it joy that they just cultivated on their own? They just chose to be joyful? It was something that they manufactured? No. It was joy that was given by the Holy Spirit. And that makes it an authentic joy, a true joy. Now, what was the suffering? We're given a little bit of a glimpse in chapter 2, verse 14. It says this, "For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out." So this group of people came to know Jesus, and because of their knowing and choosing Jesus, they were persecuted. They were mocked, they were ridiculed, they were put down, they were suffering. But in the midst of that, in the midst of being alienated, of being set outside what their friendships, what their culture was, they still had this deep and this true joy, because it came from the Spirit. Preacher, are you going to preach? 3 verse 9, "How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you?" Paul continues with this deep sense of gratitude that he has to the Thessalonians. Now, chapter 4, verses 1 to 12, it talks about this is how you should live. It's God's will you should be sanctified. What does that word mean? That word means that you become holy. It means you become more and more like Jesus. You should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body or her body in a way that is holy and honorable. And it goes on there in chapter 4. If you're thinking, what does it mean to live well? How can I live well? Spend some time in chapter 4. Verses 13 to 18, this talks about the coming of Jesus. Now here's where it comes back to in this verse 13 to 18 and 5 verses 1 to 11, the day of Jesus. This is where Paul is pointing to and giving the Thessalonians hope. He's saying, hey, the things of this world are going to pass away. The trials, the tribulations, the difficulties that you face right now are going to pass away. And you are going to be united with Jesus. Now, often we jump into this passage and we get so focused on the idea that it talks about rapture and us being pulled out and the people that are in the ground rising and going before us. And we become so focused on the details that we forget the most important part, and the most important part is Jesus. Paul makes reference that we won't know the day or the time or the hour, but we know that it's about Jesus. And we know that as we focus on Jesus, and as we look to Jesus, that's where we get our idea of hope. That's where we get our true, authentic joy. That's where we have the ability and the capacity to live life well. See, the truth is, you can't force joy. Joy is more than a choice. You can go to all these popular psychology sites that talk about being joyful will make your life better in this sense. Choosing joy will give you this ability. And while it's true, joy and being joyful is good, it can make you healthy. The truth of the matter is, unless it's joy that comes from right relationship with Jesus, it's going to be joy that only lasts for so long. Same with prayer. You can force prayer, you can force this route prayer, but if it isn't about relationship and it isn't centered and focused on Jesus, it's going to be absent of relationship. Prayer is about relationship with Jesus. And the same thing with thankfulness. You can force thankfulness, but when it isn't sincere, it doesn't have that catch in the heart. Now, thankfulness is something that our family values deeply, and it's something that we try and place into our children. And still to this day, when our kids are given something or we're out for a meal and the server brings something, if there isn't an immediate thank you for that, if there isn't that immediate thanks, there's a little poker. Hey, what do you say? What do you say? Why do we do that? We do that, I think, partially because it was done to me. Right? I think partially there's a goodness that comes from it. But ultimately, when our lives are centered on Christ, we can, in every circumstance, give thanks. It's the most beautiful thing to see one of my children, one of my little ones, for something small, express deep gratitude. And I believe it is the same thing for God as He looks on us, His children, when we have that deep, authentic, heartfelt gratitude. When we come to Him, when we come to each other, and we say, thank you. I believe that He looks on that with great joy, great delight. Do you think so? Thankful for this cup of water. Verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Now, November is about Pastor Appreciation Month, which is nice, but I think that when you make it about a pastor, you forget all of the people and all the leaders that are part of the church that make the church go. And so what I want to ask right now is if you're an elder or a life group leader or a youth leader, or if you're in some position of leadership, I just want you to stand right now. I just want you to stand up. If you're in another area of leadership in the church that I didn't mention, I want you to stand up. If you've been a pastor or you have pastored, I want you to stand up. We want to say, as a church, thank you. And not just a light thank you, but a recognition that as you come alongside us as a church, we give you thanks for your service Jesus, for your service to us and for your service to this community. Can we say thank you? There's people in this church who are working hard, who worked hard. And oftentimes it's behind the scenes, it's hidden work. And so we just want to say thanks. Verse 14, we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. This is a call to action. We are to warn, encourage, help, and be patient. I'm moving really quickly because we want to arrive at the give thanks in all circumstances here, but I just want to pause here. This is kind of that link back to King David when he was idle, when he was at home lounging in his palace while his generals were out fighting his battles. And what happened? He got in trouble. In that circumstance, he got in trouble with Bathsheba. Committed adultery, which led to murder. It was awful. Chances are that's not going to happen to you. However, when you're idle, when you stop, when you move into that place of self-focus, of lethargy, of not doing, you put yourself at risk. Now, that's different than taking a Sabbath. That's different than taking a rest on that day. That's necessary, that's essential. So I'm not saying always work. But what we're talking about here is when you're idle, when you stop. And then the next thing is about being disruptive. Crossroads, you have a gift. And I want you to know that you have a gift in that this is not a church of disruptive people. I've been in churches and have provided some leadership in churches where there are disruptive people, and it's disruptive. And that is scary. It's chaotic. There's different times of disruptives, right? Have you ever been in a church like that? No? You are blessed. Thank the Lord. A couple of types of disruptions. Letter writers. Right? Letter writers. You go home as soon as you get that email out, start finding off emails. Another type of disruption, AGM, where it moves into this place of escalated, shouting and screaming and heated dialogue. We are blessed, Crossroads, and we can give thanks for that we do not have disruptive people here. We have people, folks come to us and work. It's a gift. It really is a gift. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak be patient with everyone. Okay, it shifts from warning about these to coming alongside. And really, church, that is our call, not only within, but without. Do you know anybody who is disheartened right now? Do you know anybody who is carrying a heavy weight? If you're saying yes, and if you know Jesus, then your call is to come alongside and bring encouragement. So I want you to pause right now exactly where you are. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to pray and ask God if he has a word or a way or a means of encouragement to give that person that just came to mind. Just pause right now. I'm just going to take a moment. So, Father, as we hear from you right now in this moment about what it means to encourage the disheartened, help the weak, Father, I pray that you would put that in our minds and our hearts and challenge us to move forward, that you would give us courage to move forward, that you would show us how we can be your church, how we can be your love. All right. Verse 15, make sure nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. This is a tough one because when something is done to us that hurts, we want to hurt them back. Or we want somebody else to hurt them back for us. What Paul's saying here is release that. Trust in Jesus. Don't trust in your own idea of vengeance, of payback. Don't pay back evil for evil. You know what happens when you pay back evil for evil, right? It escalates. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And sometimes it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and you haven't even done anything. It's just something that you're carrying and holding in your heart. And you hold it against somebody. Release it and trust it to Jesus. Verse 16, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. The first one is rejoice always, be joyful. And to a certain extent, you can, on your own, choose joy. We already mentioned that. To another extent, on your own, you can't. And there's a reality that some of us are here and battling depression. That you're trapped in a darkness that you feel like you can't get out of. It's not something that you've created. You can't even figure out how or when it happened. And if you've tried all the medication, if you've tried all the therapy, and you're still coming up short, you're still in that place, I want to challenge you to move to a place where you're trying Jesus. First, foremost. I want to challenge you to come up to our prayer teams and just simply say, I'm struggling with depression. I can't be joyful. And I want you to let them pray for you. I want you to let Holy Spirit do His work. Let Him bring His healing into that place. First comes the hope and the glimpse of who we are in Jesus, of what we have in Jesus. Then comes the ability to be free from that pain, from that depression, from that darkness. Then comes the ability to actually and truly be joyful. Rejoice always, pray continually. I'm not going to say much about prayer. I'm really excited. Next week, Michael Davity, Jillian McKenzie's dad, he's going to be here preaching, and he is going to unpack prayer. And so I want to even encourage you right now just to allow God's Spirit to start softening your hearts. Start to pray this week that God will open your ears, that He'll open your mind so you can hear what He has, what's within this relationship. And that prayer is that link in the relationship. Give thanks in all circumstances. So again, it's easy to be grateful. It's easy to say thank you when things are good. It's easy to say thank you when you get a shiny new toy. It's easy to say thank you when your health is really good. It's easy to say thankful when your marriage is alive. How do you say thankful when it isn't? The reality is God loves us. God is engaged in our lives. He is giving us good gifts. We read that in James. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. What I want to challenge us on is our understanding of receiving and receptivity. Bonnie McMahon says this: receptivity isn't always easy, and it is never passive. It means actively unclenching and opening our hands and our lives, not just when God wants to give us something shiny and new, but even when He gives us trials. Receptivity means that we are open to God's work in our lives all the time. And the only way we can move to that place of being open to the trials in all times is if we have the eternal perspective. Church, as soon as we stop and we start focusing on ourselves and exactly where we are in the moment and become trapped in this idea of sometimes it's a self-pity, sometimes it's a greed or desire for something else. As soon as we stop in that place, we lose sight. We lose sight of the hope that Paul just talked about in the passage prior to this. This reality, this truth that Jesus is coming, that Jesus will come, that He's going to grab you and bring you to Him. And that's a hope that we have. And in that place, there will be no more sorrow, no more grief. We'll be united with God the way that we were created ultimately to be. Sounds awesome, right? When you actually stop to think of that, think of what we have in Christ. We have a hope that nobody else has. Not just we in this church, but we in the world who believe and know Jesus. We have a hope that nobody else has. And we want them to have it, don't we? And that's part of our call, church. Our call is to take this hope out with us and to live it. But there's also the flip side that when we live a life of ingratitude, when we live without joy because we're not praying, it's almost impossible to be thankful. So you take Jesus out, you lose the joy, you lose the prayer, you lose the thankfulness. See, there's a danger that comes when our warmth toward God as the giver is dependent on these tangible good things that He gives us, rather than being dependent on the good God that He has always proven Himself to be. And so if you are in a place right now where this is a gift, where you're understanding this, and you've already moved through some trial, and you get it, then I imagine you're sitting there going, yes, absolutely, amen. If you're in a place where you're stuck and trapped because God's done something to you and it's almost impossible for you to move on, I just want to invite you to pause. I just want to invite you to come to a place of softness and make space for God to do some healing work inside you. And we talked last week about all the people that are outside that need to be hearing the good news, the good word of God, and how everybody in here were the ones that didn't necessarily need to hear, but you were to take that message out with you. It's the same with this idea. When something's happened, something difficult in our lives, and we put that on God, and it becomes a barrier between us and God. God's bigger than that. He's got more for us than that, church. God's love is infinite. It's so profound. The reality is, in this world, we will struggle. But there's a hope that we have in Jesus. There's a freedom that we have in Jesus that goes beyond all the troubles that we face. Now our challenge, Crossroads, our challenge is to live it. Our challenge is to take this idea of being thankful in all circumstances and to live it. I want to warn you that if this is connecting for you and you're saying in your heart right now, I want to move out from this place and I want that. I want to be thankful. I want to warn you that the enemy's not going to like it. That you're going to walk out the door and you're going to get in your car and somebody's going to cut you off. Or you're going to try and talk to somebody out in the foyer and they're going to turn their back and you're going to go, well, that person turned their back on me. I make light of that. But we do that kind of stuff. I want to challenge us on this Thanksgiving, on 2015 Thanksgiving, I want to challenge us to be truly, truly thankful. I want to challenge you to remember that Canada was founded in the midst of, not founded, sorry, but there was this experience that happened. And in the midst of brutal chaos, of loss, of ship, of men, and tragedy, they were able to stop and pause and give thanks to God. Anybody remember his name? What was that? Exactly. I want you to remember that in the midst of trial, they stopped and they gave thanks. They remembered Jesus. I want us, Crossroads, in the midst of whatever's going on, to stop and pause and give thanks from the right place, oriented towards Jesus and everything coming out of there. So want to invite our ministry teams, if you could come forward. So we're going to have communion up here. We're going to have our prayer teams. And if there is something that has connected for you, something that has struck a chord, whether it is a recognition that there's a barrier here in your life, or recognition that you want more of it, I want to challenge you to pause on this day of Thanksgiving and just to rest in your seats and just to be thankful. And if you feel invitation or draw, I want you to make your way forward to our prayer team, or to make your way forward to communion, and to really move out from this place in a spirit of thankfulness. Because of the hope, because of the truth, because of what we have in Christ. Just want to invite you to stand up while I pray. Jesus, we stand as your church. And today we give you thanks. We give you thanks for what you have done in our hearts. We give you thanks, Lord, for what you did by defeating and conquering death. We give you thanks for the relationship that we now have with you. And so, Father, right now I pray specifically for those who are here who are carrying a hurt. Something that has block them from being in community with you, Lord, and with the church. God, I pray your healing in that place. And Spirit, I ask that you would move in us right now. And Father, I ask that you would give us measure of your Spirit, Lord. I ask that you would give us an awareness of who you are. Because the only natural outflow from that is thankfulness, is joy, is prayer. So we pray that in your name, Jesus. So, church, just want to invite you to this place of stillness and rest. You can remain standing. You can grab a seat. But we'll make this area in here just a place